All right, welcome back to the podcast. My guest today is Jeff Forrestal, a CTO at Blue Box Security. I invited Jeff on the podcast today to talk about a presentation you guys are doing at Black Hat in a week and a half, I think, on some Android issues, basically an Android fake ID vulnerability that allows impersonation of trusted applications. And can you spend a few minutes just kind of giving us the general introductory overview of, you know, what it is and what it means?
Absolutely. So basically, Blue Box Labs discovered a vulnerability in how Android processes the digital signature identities that are attached to Android apps. These digital signature identities act kind of like an ID card or driver's license for an app, and essentially we found a way to create a fake ID card that tricks anything that's checking the ID of the app. That's why we call it fake ID. Specifically, for the technical folks, it's a failure in Android and how it processes a signing certificate when that signing certificate is a part of a certificate chain. So an attacker can create an invalid certificate chain that includes any cert or any identity that the attacker wants. The chain would normally get rejected by a traditional PKI, but because of the issue of verification, Android doesn't actually check that. And that's essentially the core problem.
So you're basically copying the ID of an existing legitimate app.
We are incorporating the identity of a legitimate system app or a legitimate app, yes. Now, that's the fundamental problem. The exploit happens to be a little tricky. Let me describe how the exploit works, right? So the exploit happens when trusted system code walks through that certificate chain and grants some kind of special privilege merely by the fact that a specific certificate is present somewhere in the chain. Now, that sounds odd, but actually there's some known specific places in Android where very specific identities are given special access. One great example is Adobe. Adobe right there is hard-coded in Android so that the Adobe Flash plugin app is used by the OS and can act as a plugin to all other apps. So hard-coded in Android is this concept of Adobe certificate. And any app that has Adobe certificate in its signing chain is allowed to basically inject their code into other apps. Because of this vulnerability, essentially, an attacker can create a piece of malware that masquerades as a WebView plugin and use this fake identity trick to create a certificate chain that includes the Adobe certificate. When that app gets installed on the system, the OS is going to go through and see that that app contains the Adobe certificate and it's a plugin. And what it's going to do is it's going to immediately extract the plugin out of the app and inject that plugin into all other web views of all other apps on the system. Now, this is Trojan code. This is malicious. And it gets merged in as a shared library immediately into the running apps, any app that has a running web view, which means that's malicious code running right there in the app's process. And that means it can sniff traffic, steal data, pretty much do anything the app wants. Anything the app can do at that point.
So you have potentially full system level access, full device compromise to extract private data.
Depending on the access aspect is about apps.
Right, depending on the level that the compromised ID has.
Yes, exactly. And we actually have identified an identity that actually does get you full device control. So another vector for the same vulnerability, different identity, would be the 3LM identity. 3LM is a company that made device management extensions. They were eventually purchased and moved around. They became a part of Motorola, which became part of Google, and now they've been spun back out, I believe, purchased by Boxstone. So they've been moving around. But essentially, 3LM is not a part of core AOSP, so core Android. It's an extension that's added by manufacturers. Many manufacturers actually use this. Sony, HTC, Motorola, Samsung, LG, Pantech, maybe some others, right? They all incorporate this 3LM device management extensions. The only apps that are allowed to use this 3LM technology are the ones that include a 3LM certificate in their signing chain. Because of this vulnerability now, any app and any malware can trick that check and essentially access those device management extensions. And of course, device management, as the name implies, means you can really affect the total control of the device.
How many of these would you venture a guess is out there? And is there like an automated way to pinpoint, for instance, a 3LM or an Adobe or some others that might be vulnerable?
So remember, the vulnerability is a generic problem. Then the question is how to exploit it.
Right.
It does take research to identify where certain identities are granted special privileges built on top of this assumption that a certificate chain is valid.
Right.
We've done research now, so it is certainly open-ended, and it's hard to view all code everywhere to really confirm the entirety of the problem. Our research has been focused in a couple of places. One, we want to identify the widest widespread impact possible, and we believe that to be the Adobe vector. That will affect practically any victim app sitting on a device, all devices prior to KitKat. It doesn't affect KitKat and later simply because in KitKat, Google changed how the entire web view works in an application. They switched from WebKit to Chromium, and as part of that switch, they got rid of the part that was vulnerable. So they kind of accidentally fixed it to a certain extent. But generally speaking, apps and devices, that's the most widespread impact. Every Android version prior to KitKat is vulnerable to that.
Right.
Now,
so
the inverse.
Let's just back up a second for purposes of background. Android 4.4 KitKat. The vulnerability was fixed in KitKat, but any device would be affected that is any version prior to KitKat.
Actually, that's not quite an accurate statement.
Okay.
All devices are currently vulnerable as of today. Google has produced patches. Patches are en route to vendors to release for OTA and firmware updates. So we will start seeing the ecosystem patch.
Wait a second. Clarify this for me because I'm a little confused.
The vulnerability is not fixed in KitKat. What is changed in KitKat is one exploit vector.
Okay. So,
right.
But Google has, are you coordinating this disclosure with Google to as part of this Black Hat talk? Are you doing coordinated disclosure to, have this information out there with a full patch?
Absolutely. So we did do responsible disclosure with Google back in April of 2014. They have confirmed the problem, produced the patch, and provided the patch to their OHA partners, which is all of the Android device manufacturers. And they have been all working on updates for the last 3 months, which is actually, from a timing perspective, that's a 3-month lead time, which is generally Google's typical coordination window. Prior to the Black Hat talk. So generally speaking, we have absolutely coordinated and worked responsibly with Google to produce a patch. The patch has been produced. The patch has been provided to device manufacturers, and device manufacturers are currently in progress of getting it released.
And that's a whole other story. Just
correct.
Getting it released and getting end users to actually apply those patches is not a podcast altogether. So to clarify, anything prior to 4.4 KitKat is vulnerable to this exploit vector. Post-patch, it patches the actual existing vulnerability that Google fixed.
Correct. KitKat happens to be mitigated in terms of the Adobe identity exploit vector. But there are other exploit vectors still affect KitKat. That's just one vector, right? The 3LM vector is a different identity with different impact. That is on devices that include 3LM device extensions. So whether or not your device includes 3LM device extensions is a more contextual question. Not all devices include them.
Right. What is the?
Let me give you a third vector.
Go ahead.
Another great example, right? So the Android OS creates kind of like a firewall on who can access the NFC secure element. This is the secure hardware used for doing the wireless credit card payments that Google Wallet uses. What we found is that with the same vulnerability, this is a new vector, we can use the Google Wallet identity to actually gain access to the NFC security hardware that's used for payment transactions.
Mm.
Now, The devices that would be affected there are devices that are using Google Wallet that are equipped with NFC hardware.
Right.
But that is a third vector. And there's certainly maybe more vectors, but in terms of our research and our effort, it's certainly a lot of effort to go look at every code ever produced everywhere and try to figure out what else is vulnerable. But we feel that we have identified the means at which the most number of people would be kind of impacted and the means of which where the deepest amount of impact is possible, and a couple examples of in between. So we got a lot of good variation and understanding a lot of ends of the spectrum on this problem. After this, this is kind of chasing the long tail of other things that kind of wind up with the same results.
How trivial is it to exploit this?
It is fairly easy and fairly trivial. It really comes down to about 15 lines of Python code to carefully craft a certificate chain, which is nothing more than like a PKCS object, which you just use for signing and then you're done. Then it's just a matter of creativity and writing exploit code to do something interesting.
Are you releasing
In terms of malware delivery, this is completely silent, completely stealth. It does not require explicit Android permissions to be visible to the user. And in fact, you can build apps that basically require no permissions and still exploit this. It is possible to build apps that can exploit multiple different identity vectors all at the same time, because Android supports the concept of multiple signers for an app. So generally speaking, this is stealth. This is very transparent. This is the stuff malware is made of. So we are expecting, unfortunately, for malware to try to take advantage of this problem.
Is there anything Adobe or 3LM or any other affected vendor, third-party vendor can do, or is this just the way Android works?
This is just the way Android works. Those guys, unfortunately, can't do anything. They built the technology. The technology's been distributed. They had a reasonable security check built on top of the concept of signatures and signing, right, which is cryptographically acceptable, absolutely. The flaw is Android didn't actually provide some assurances on how PKI certificate chains were verified. That was an assumption.
Right.
Right? That normally with proper PKI would not be a problem. So this was a shortcoming. These guys, 3LM and Adobe, didn't do anything wrong here. It was their needs weren't properly met by the security verification that their stuff was built on top of.
Are you releasing any code at Black Hat?
Well, code's certainly a broad term. So we are going to demonstrate, exploit examples. There is going to be some like kind of demonstrated code in terms of how you conceptually build a certificate. We're also releasing tools. The Blue Box Security Scanner will be updated to indicate patch status so people can actually see if their device has been patched or vulnerable to this problem. So, we're going to, in terms of demonstration to understand and educate towards a problem, there will be some sample code there. But more importantly, we're also going to release tools for any users to help measure and understand the risk and see when it is they become patched and protected.
So, last two questions. I'm a sysadministrator. I'm the IT guy at a, company with 200 employees, 100 running around with Android devices prior to KitKat. What is there any pre-patch mitigation that is available for me today?
The general strategy is going to be good security hygiene on behalf of the user in terms of, make sure you're not getting apps from unknown sources, kind of stick to trusted apps from trusted distributors, which is kind of general good practice. We
right,
see the same thing on the desktop side.
That's something almost impossible to police, though.
Absolutely. It's extremely possible, impossible to police. Kind of depends upon your operating environment. But beyond that, from a mitigation perspective, other than just scanning after the fact for potential compromise, leveraging something like a malware scanner, an antivirus type technology scanner for mobile, those therein have their own complications, is kind of the best stance you have until patches come out. And then there's a higher level question of what if the device never gets a patch, right? Which refers to your other podcast,
right.
of
which is my last question. Now I'm a consumer. I'm not in an enterprise environment. I'm a consumer. I read the story or I listen to this podcast, and I'm worried about potential exploitation in the wild exploitation by malware. What are my options?
So absolutely, beyond security hygiene and trying to really take destiny, into your own hands, This is an ongoing kind of call-out problem with the Android ecosystem in terms of you buy a device, there's a problem with it, but it's out of maintenance window or whatever. How do you get an update? Maybe you never get an update.
Right.
So the best advice there is
Get an iPhone.
if you're worried about security, and certainly everyone should be, look at the vendors who traditionally maintain devices longer and more aggressively. It may be worth spending that extra $50 or $100 to buy a more premium device that has a better support plan. So, like vendors like Motorola and Samsung and HTC tend to frequently issue security updates and patches far more often than some of the longer tail, kind of lesser known vendors. LG is another good example. So, prefer devices from vendors who have a more ongoing maintenance plan for devices, rather than saving $50 getting that no-name phone, which may never be updated ever again.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Good luck at Black Hat.
Oh, thank you very much.